Hello and welcome back to Scream Addicts, a show where a bunch of people watch movies and talk about them right after for your listening pleasure. I am Jason Jenkins, call me Jinx. Sitting with me here tonight are
Hunter,
Ryan,
I'm David,
I'm Seth,
and that is basically the pack of us. And tonight the choice was for a movie that actually came out this year. In fact, it wasn't really our choice, it was Brian's choice. It wasn't really Brian's choice because Brian put up a Twitter poll, and everyone said out of the four movies suggested, one of which was Brian's choice, and then the three others actually came from some of our listeners. The people who responded on Twitter went with Karin Kasama's 2016, that's this year's movie, The Invitation. So Brian, why don't you tell us what this movie's about?
It's about a cult in L.A.
Oh, come on. You had to have gotten more than that out of it.
That's all there was.
I don't know. I don't know how to feel about the film, to be honest with you. I was at times annoyed, and at times I liked it, and I liked the ending. But I don't know. It was a very predictable plot. Like, you could tell where it was going, even from not having known what it was about. You could tell that, okay, this is sketchy, it's weird. Then they mentioned, well, we don't want to be recruited to anything. Okay, it's a cult. Okay, they're all going to die. Because no one's really developed except Will, the main guy.
Who's the only reasonable character in the movie.
That's what annoyed me most, is that every red herring wasn't a red herring because he's calling out what's going to happen, but no one will listen to him.
Yeah, and the whole time I just felt kind of like, these people are all idiots. He's telling them what's going to happen. And just because the filmmakers want me to believe that he's wrong, because he's like, you know, Troy was, you know, he called me. He's supposed to be here. He's not here. Where is he? Is he dead? I assumed he was dead. Then Troy shows up. He's like, oh, everything's fine. Will was crazy. While the characters believe that, I never once believed that. I don't know if I was supposed to, but I never once believed that that was the case. I always knew that Will was going to be right in the end of it.
The movie seemed like sort of a meditation on dread. I loved the lead character, and I did believe at times that he might very well be crazy. It's one of the few movies that has a red herring like that that kind of worked for me, especially when, was it Troy?
Troy.
Really? Fucking Troy.
I was just looking over the cast. And his name is spelled C-H-O-Y.
Oh, is it Choi?
Choi. Okay.
I thought so.
He is Asian, right?
Yeah, he is.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, my God.
I heard Troy the entire time.
No, I actually thought that might have been the climax of the movie. I thought it was going to be kind of this slow burn sort of thriller where we're certain that this paranoid guy is actually right, because how many times have we seen something like that? But when there is actually the reveal that the one thing that made him more paranoid than anything, the fact that one of his friends isn't there, when that guy shows up, it felt like a climax to me. It felt like a big unveiling that this guy who is so consumed with grief has actually been driven crazy. He's not right. He is completely wrong about all the events that have, you know, come up until this point. So it's even more shocking to me when the dinner party does go awry. Maybe it's just the fact that more than any other type of horror movie villain, I am creeped out by cults. So unbelievably. There is that feeling in the movie of dread. I think that this is likely a cult. And when it's actually revealed to be a cult, I mean, hell, one of the characters is named Sadie, for God's sake. But when the violence happens in the final 10 minutes of the movie, I actually found it to be very upsetting and incredibly intense. And then, of course, we get to that final shot, which reveals that this has been larger than an event that's happened in one house. It's actually an entire movement that's taken over this entire stretch.
I did like that.
Yeah,
I did enjoy that.
You can only imagine what kind of horrors have happened out in the Hollywood Hills, where these, you know, the elite have been taken over by this trendy cult, and it's led to really awful things for everybody. So for those reasons alone, I dug it. But I will say that the main reason the movie worked for me was the fact that Karin Kasama did seem to have a really great hand on creating tension. It's the type of tension that's easily clipped, but when allowed to, I think, works like gangbusters.
Well, I mean, I do think that the film does build tension more, because for the first 45 minutes, while I was kind of annoyed that I wanted it to get along with itself, is mainly because it made me feel weird for most of the film. And I think it's why I wanted to move on and actually get started with the story, because nothing was happening, but she was building tension. But I think that they wanted they wanted you to believe that Will was insane, because you get the feeling it might be a cult film. Will looks like Manson. I mean, I don't think that was an accident, that maybe he's the crazy guy. But
sure.
I think the film wants me to believe that. I never did, I think.
You don't think he's insane because he's the only one acting normal in the weird situations.
Yeah.
That's why the red herrings don't work.
And everybody's because he's the only one you're responding. The weird one. And like, no, he's the normal one.
Well, I mean, he's acting normal for people that
that for the audience.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, in general, if everyone was kind of at a party like that, and one guy was being that way,
party used loosely,
right? No, okay. If we're all together, I mean, we wouldn't think, oh, that guy is right. Like, dude, why are you, you know, being weird? We wouldn't think, oh, he's being normal. Like, nobody would believe him anyway.
Especially that he seems kind of, I don't know, strung out at times.
Yeah, yeah. But
he is also very clearly our hero, too. I wonder if the movie wouldn't be better served by actually cutting away the opening sequence where we start with him and his wife traveling to the party, and it simply opened within the house and them arriving. At that point, we wouldn't be certain that he is our hero.
Right, right. No,
but,
yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
I think it's important to show him actually mercy killing the wolf that he hits at the very beginning, too. I mean, here's a guy who, you know, I think is at heart a decent guy, who, you know, will get his hands dirty a bit too.
Well, yeah, it's true. But I mean, I never got the feel like I got the feeling that at the beginning of it, okay, so he's killing the dog. When everything goes to shit, it's like, okay, they're showing us what he can do to then show us what he's going to do. But he never did anything at whenever everything would have happened. Like, he just kind of ran away and he punched that one girl by accident. And then his girlfriend ended up killing everyone else. I mean, he didn't really do anything once the shit hit the fan. I don't know why he didn't do anything, because he was the one yelling the loudest, but he didn't do anything. It was like he was crippled with fear the whole time.
Hmm. But, Pruitt's our only hero.
I like
settled.
That.
Yeah.
No. No.
That actor, you're out of line.
I really like that actor. His name's John Carroll Lynch, the guy who played Pruitt, who is very, very creepy in the movie, but also oddly likable in a way. Like, you can see, like, he's a charismatic kind of guy. You can see why somebody would like him. But at the same time, you're certain that if Will is right, then
Jinx just wants to be in a cult.
No. I would run screaming from a cult member. Cults creep me out more than anything. Any type of horror movie villain. Has anyone seen Kill List?
Uh-uh.
Terrifying.
Yes.
The Wicker Man. Terrifying.
Nick Cage.
And funny.
Well,
not that.
Well, cult, as well. Cults do have this weird unnerving quality to them. That may be
Race
why,
with the devil.
And maybe why the film in the beginning feels weird, because I think that watching it, you get the idea pretty quick that it's probably a cult. And that drives, at least for me, it drove the tension of waiting for something really awful to happen. It just took a while to get there, I think, for me.
No, I hear you. Yeah, and there is I remember a friend of mine who saw the movie when it came out, who had a very good point, which is, he was like, I don't think anything happens in the first 20 minutes, and a lot of people saying, hey, how are you? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Have you been? I've been good, man. How about you? I think that's important, you know, especially when you have such a large cast or whatever, to sort of sell the idea very – they didn't do it that quickly, but to sell the idea very quickly that, you know, all of these people have a past. They have a history. They have their friendships there or whatever that – probably afford Will a little more time acting like a crazy person than they would anybody else if they didn't have a long history with him.
Right.
You know? But that doesn't make the first 20 minutes go by any faster.
I think once it gets moving and it gets into it, when they start the dinner, which is about midway through the film, I think it gets a bit more energy, because then the plot starts rolling more. I like the flashbacks, I think. A little bit. It took me a minute to get used to what was a flashback, but they light it in blue instead of gold, so it helps you kind of make that thing. At the end of it, do you think we're meant to believe they're out of it, or is all the dread meant to be, oh, this isn't over? Are these cults going to keep coming to everyone else's house?
No, I think, to me, the way I took it is just that what we've witnessed in this one house has likely happened and probably, I mean, I would have to imagine succeeded in many other homes
right.
in that area. And who knows, you know, how many more homes past that one hill?
Well, LA is weird.
It is LA, yeah. The cops were there.
They were
in the helicopters, remember? Yeah. They were going to get things in hand.
I watched it, yeah.
Yeah. We were laughing a little bit.
But I love that final shot. I hope there isn't a follow up, and I would like to think that it wasn't merely a setup to
a sequel. Election year.
Yeah. Something yeah, that, yeah. Because, well, I mean,
I don't think it is. I think it's meant to just be a very chilling
right. But
way
I,
to
I
ring
mean,
out the movie.
But usually, movies like that, if they do super well, they'll take it and okay, now Tommy and Will and the girlfriend are on the street and they're running away from the cult. Like that's
oh,
like
gosh.
That's like that where yeah, it'd be horrible.
That is Race with the Devil.
I would see that movie.
you see most movies, Brian.
That's true. Furious 9.
Uh-oh. But yeah, hopefully there won't be a sequel of any sort. And I don't think they're trying to set up franchise. It's not exactly a franchise sort of movie, but...
No.
Well,
no,
we're waiting
not
for the
all.
Pruitt spinoff.
I would watch that. I would watch a prequel. No, I wouldn't.
No? About the times
in
Mexico? I
can't imagine what that prequel
it's
would be.
It's called The Path. It's
and
on
I can't
Hulu.
Even imagine that it's allowing for any sequels. I think, if anything, you would just probably peer into other houses and see what's going on. But honestly, I can't imagine that. How coincidental would it be if something went wrong in every household so that there was...
Right.
You know, I imagine that most of those homes...
Everyone's dead.
Everybody drank the wine without incident, which is... just awful and terrifying. And just
that's not true, because there was a lot of screaming at the end of that movie.
That's true. There was. There was a whole lot of screams.
A lot of people don't
drink.
Yeah,
true.
So, I mean,
some people
they
are
didn't,
straight edge.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't. Yeah. Not everybody died, but it was definitely a massacre throughout the entire hills, which is creepy. And that might be why the ending, I think, felt okay for me, because it made it seem like, oh, this is weird and horrible to happen to them, but here are nine other places that happen who's screaming and gunshot. It's not one thing. I think that and they led into that, I think, although I guess I wasn't watching close enough, when he finds the video on David's laptop of the guy basically explaining, it's time to do this, I love you, we're all going to be in a better place. Like, that's kind of fucked up and weird. But yeah, I kind of wrote it off. Until the end of it, until it's all explained.
Well, what's strange is that the one question I have about the movie, the people who show up to the house, are they meant to be victims who were looking for help and were turned away? Or do you think they're like, in a strange way, event organizers who were checking to make certain that everything was going well? Because to me, it's almost got to be the latter, because the entire lamp thing, it seemed like all of the events, all of the...
It was all planned.
Yeah, it had to happen at a certain time.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, it would have to be somebody checking in with you. And what kind of job is that as a cult member, to have to go house to house?
With a clipboard?
Like, hey, you got everything you need? Do you have enough wine?
That's the
Do you
movie
have
enough I
want
to see.
Do you got the cyanide?
Do you have a backup gun with only 6 bullets just in case?
Yeah,
wait,
right.
How many guests do you have? You know what? 6 bullets, probably going to take care of most of them. It's fine. It's fine. Just line them up if you got
it. If it all goes wrong, you can shoot everyone.
Yeah, strangle them. I'm making light of it, but I'm still creeped out by that movie. So, but yeah, overall, I dug it. I think Karin Kusama has had a really interesting career. If you look at all of her movies, they're very different in
scope. She directed Aeon Flux, though, right?
Well, kind of. She did a movie called Girl Fight, which was very good. She went from that to doing Aeon Flux, which apparently the studio took away from her, cut by like 30 or 40 minutes, changed things. And I still find that movie really interesting, but it's one of those movies that's an interesting failure. You can tell that there are some interesting ideas in there.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted more to happen, it seems, that it just didn't happen.
And they wanted to turn it into a sci-fi spectacle, and it didn't seem like it had any interest in being that. But from that, she went on to Jennifer's Body, which was a horror movie written by Diablo Cody. It was her first screenplay after winning the Oscar for writing Juno. A lot of hate for that movie. It's only been recently that people have actually started talking about, yeah, oh God, my God, I remember when that movie came out and everybody wanted to, I think they wanted to lynch the filmmakers. And I was one of the few people who was just kind of like, I kind of liked it. I enjoyed the hell of it, actually. I love Diablo Cody's dialogue. It's nothing that a real human being would ever say, ever, ever. But it's also very clear that's not what it's trying to be.
Now there's Lord of the Rings, though, either. But,
sure.
But nobody complains about that.
No.
And they don't. It's the same thing.
With the exception of some dodgy CGI, I thought Jennifer's Body was actually really,
I enjoyed
really good.
It.
It's only recently that people have started to reevaluate that movie and praise it a little bit and say that it's not necessarily that it's a great movie, but it's certainly far better than what most people believed it was at the time that it came out. And then from that, she pretty much hasn't worked. And I think she's done some television, but then it took her 7 years to get another feature off the ground. And whereas she started with a very small indie movie, she did 2 bigger studio flicks, and now she's back to doing, like, you know, this intimate, claustrophobic, one-house sort of tale. But I actually think as a director, it's probably her best work. I think it's certainly the most assured. And, yeah, who cracked wise about the close-ups? I actually thought that that was...
we all did.
It was intense. I remember watching the fact that we feel so close to all of these people, and we feel sort of confined in that house, much like Will is. So that worked a lot for me. The how she shot within those enclosed spaces, even though it is a big house, worked a lot for me. So.
Yeah, I think if nothing else but the film, whether I thought it was a straightforward plot or whatever, I do think that the tension that was built in the first hour... it worked a bit for me because it made me annoyed, but I don't know why. But it did make me feel kind of like on edge and wanting something to happen.
Sure.
Because I feel like she's kept building and building and building and building and building, and then it finally all exploded at the end of it. Like I'm used to movies like this, and they'll build for 25 minutes and it'll be an hour of just killing. Mm. But she let it go for 98% of the film talking. And then the last 5 minutes of the film, it all kind of happens.
Sure.
Which was really kind of a surprise for me. I didn't think that there would be that much of a build-up to all the killing. I thought it would happen pretty quick.
Usually you have. I mean, yeah, there is tension building in horror movies, and inevitably there is always some sort of release from that, whether it be like a kill or more often than not a joke or a gag to sort of undercut that tension, and she never does that. You're right. She keeps... I think drawing it tighter and tighter and tighter as the movie goes along, which I respected. I don't know that many people would have the confidence to do that. I mean, most horror movies usually let me down in that they'll throw a gag in and sort of clip the tension with a dumb joke rather than actually let it play out the way it should. I just watched a movie earlier today that was just like that will go unnamed here. But but yeah, it'll be very curious to see where her career goes next, because I can't actually – you go from Girl Fight to Aeon Flux to Jennifer's Body to The Invitation. For her first three movies, they're female-led films, and The Invitation isn't. Other than that, I can't really draw any similarities from one movie to the next. I don't know necessarily what her voice is. I think she obviously has a very good eye. And she's good with drawing good performances out of actors. But past that, God knows where she's going to wind up next. I'm very curious to see.
Did she write this film too?
Yeah, her husband wrote it, I believe. Okay. And I don't know if she had any input on the story or not, but one would imagine. But I don't know if she wrote Aeon Flux or not. Diablo Cody did Jennifer's Body. I don't know if she wrote Girl Fight or not. Mm. But
you mentioned that the film felt very... kind of claustrophobic, and I don't think I realize. I mean, I guess I realized on some degree, but it is interesting that all the film they're kind of kept in the house, and it's very kind of panicky and weird. Then at the end of it, after everything's over with, they get out and they're out in the air and they're cool. But like you said,
I disagree with that because there's so many scenes with Will outside.
Will is outside, sure,
all the time.
But I mean, everyone else is stuck in that house.
But they were still, I think, once they're on that property, they never leave. You never actually move outside the bounds of that area. And at a certain point, too, it feels like they are locked in that house. I mean, as much as David is trying to say that, you know, they're not being held there. They're not being kept there. And I got to ask, too, what do you think happened to Claire?
Was that me? Oh, no. The
character.
The blonde girl?
Yes. The one who was allowed to leave, but Pruitt...
stopped her on the way.
Yeah, we don't know.
He killed her.
He just let her go.
Told her directions.
I don't really know, because Pruitt didn't seem... because Pruitt didn't want the death to end violently, because whenever David starts shooting people, he's like, no, this is not... you shouldn't be doing this. It's not your place. But then he shoots Miguel. So maybe he did kill her. I don't know what we're supposed to think.
The thing is, though, is from what we see from the very beginning of the movie, there is just that one little road leading up to the property once they move on to it. There isn't a whole hell of a lot of area there to hide a car. And Choi did show up at some point.
Right.
And one would imagine he would notice one of his friend's cars.
Well, maybe, if everyone on the hill was in on it, he could have parked at anyone's house. It could have been a mile up the road, and then Troy just thinks, oh, maybe Claire didn't make it, or she left her. You know, it's easy to hide a car when people are just there to have fun.
Maybe they carpool.
And when there's so many
other houses doing this.
Right.
He was just there for the
fun. If that's the case, though, then, you got to ask, is the cult just straight up homicidal? It did feel like they were trying to, it was a kindness of theirs to invite all of these people in and to ascend. So for him to walk out and murder Claire, I don't know that he would have gotten anything from that other than the thrill of having done it. And it doesn't seem like you know, why would he do that?
Maybe there's let her go.
If he did, why did he go out and speak to her? You know, what was the point of that? Sorry,
got there.
So at the end, what's bad guy number one?
David.
Yeah. And
Pruitt.
Eden. Yes,
the girl.
Eden. Yeah. So he's at the very end, he's telling her, like, it'll still be okay, like, it's still enough. Did they need, like, a certain number of killings? Because he's talking to her, so that's why they invited the people.
How many people were in the party?
Using a loose term.
There was Will, his girlfriend. There was Claire. There was Tommy and his husband. There was Sarah, Troy, Ben, Pruitt, David, and Eden. There were 11.
So 11 people.
No 11, which 8 of them were not part of the cult. Oh, there was also Sadie. So there was 12. 8 of them were not part of the cult. So, I don't
disciples.
Know.
Maybe they needed, I mean, they certainly seemed to need to kill people at a certain time. It was all to happen.
Yeah.
Was it 10 p.m.?
Yeah.
It's a Heaven's Gate kind of thing.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Without the Nikes.
What was the guy's name? Applewhite?
Yes.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
It was, God, I remember being creeped out by that.
Applebee's.
Cults are weird.
They freak me the hell out.
Cults are weird.
They
scare me.
Yeah.
You don't mind them?
Kind of interesting.
Whatever
you
want to
believe, that's fine.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're here for? Freedom of religion?
Brian.
America?
Brian. You stop.
Now, when it involves hurting other people, and cults are just creepy. And don't get me wrong. No, you know what? I was getting ready to say I was more scared of cults in horror movies, and the way they're portrayed usually is Satanists who are, you know, omnipotent.
They're allowed to worship whoever they please.
I think they're much scarier when they're like they are in this film, when they're people that are just taken under the wing of, like, we can help you be a better guy or girl, and then you kill everyone. That's much scarier than we worship the devil. Like,
true.
I mean, this version of a cult's much creepier to me than people following in like a satanic cult.
That's because this cult has an objective.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What does it say about me that I didn't think this was that creepy?
I didn't think it was very creepy.
Like, the end was fun, but...
It was really fun.
Yeah.
I don't know, Hunter. I don't know what it says about
me.
I worship Kate McKinnon.
We all thought that beginning part was awkward, but it only led us to ask, why aren't these guests getting out of this, quote, party?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did get a bit of the kind of, these people are all dumb.
Yeah, they deserve it at this point.
Yeah, right?
But at the same time, it's only because they were all drunk, too. Yeah, they're drunk, and, you know,
I'm sorry. If somebody's going to show me a video of somebody dying, I am getting out of that house.
Yeah. Well, it's also a woman that they know is psychologically damaged,
yeah.
I think. And they care about her a lot, too. Yeah, exactly. And they wanted to be there to support her. You know, I don't think it would have been the most surprising thing for her, knowing what they know about her, to play a video like that and have some sort of comfort in watching.
Keep better company.
So, you know, but also, you know, as far as them being dumb – again, I think it goes to them showing that they had long friendships, you know, amongst everyone. And, you know, maybe it's just horror movie logic, but, you know, in real life, if I asked one of you to look in a dark closet just for the hell of it, hey, can you grab me something from over there? You wouldn't think twice about it. Maybe that's totally different than watching someone die. If we were to go and watch Lights Out tonight and somebody goes into a dark room, you would be screaming, what the fuck are you doing? Are you stupid?
Oh, yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Well, that's completely different scenarios as well.
Yeah, I got to say, I don't think that if you were, you know, if we were all, since we're all great friends, and we were at a party together, and all of a sudden I said, hey, I got this video I want you to watch. It's a beheading.
We would all watch it, I think.
I think we would probably watch it.
Really?
And, yeah, yes. And none of us would leave.
And, or maybe you'd
disagree.
Watch it and
I'll be asking if we meant the podcast about it right after.
Be like,
I gotta go. Yeah. But
I think you'd think it'd be weird.
Well, I think it'd be weird, but I mean, also, we know each other to the point of, well, we're comfortable with each other, and we know that maybe you and Joseph are real. I don't know. I think it's never been tested, but I do think Jinx is on something with the fact that when we're watching a horror film, we already assume everything's going to go bad anyway, so we feel smarter than everybody in that film because we know that every choice that they make is going to be horrible. So we judge them based on that choice.
But here's the thing. Every last one of them have called it out. They all say, are you trying to convert us?
Right.
Is this a cult?
Yeah.
What's going to happen next?
Yeah.
They're all calling it out, so I don't feel bad for them, and I don't believe that they wouldn't be creeped out by it.
One cultish activity
They're
after another.
They're not playing by the rules of their own logic.
Yeah.
But if you were imagine living in that world, and if you knew what
in LA,
if you know what Eden had gone through, and then she showed you that video, would you run screaming away from her?
I would say, I'm going to go get you help.
Yeah. Right?
I'm calling somebody to get you help.
And, like, I left the dessert out in the car. Something like that.
I'm pretty sure Choi called me, and I need to go find him.
Yeah. Or maybe you need some time alone.
Yeah.
See ya.
I think this is too soon to have a get-together.
Right.
Because I'm expecting cocktail but weenies and twister.
This is all good excuses.
Years, right?
Two years.
Two years, yeah.
And she's obviously still not fine.
Right.
No. Which is, I would think, another compelling reason to not leave immediately.
No, that's a reason enough to leave immediately.
God, I wouldn't. I don't think I would.
I don't think anybody likes me as a friend.
You're not a very helpful person.
Deal with your shit. I'm out of here.
I got shows to watch. Yeah.
Whatever you need to go through your shit, but I gotta go. I'm not gonna watch this movie with you.
Tap dances on out.
It is an interesting question. I think put in that position, you know, I would hope I would not immediately leave. I would have questions.
See, I'm already,
I would have concerns.
I'm already awkward at the party because I'm going to a party where there's an ex-wife and husband whose child has died, and they're bringing both their spouses.
Right.
And like, I'm already uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So you show me that, I'm getting out.
And then you think if this is a party for them, you know, getting together, all of a sudden there's Pruitt and the weird lady there.
Yeah.
But doesn't that add another sort of shackle to Will in a way that
they show up?
All I'm doing
is telling you why I'm getting out, and you're saying that's why I should stay. Yeah. I disagree.
No. When Will shows up, the notion that, you know, he's trying to put on a brave face, and there's that sort of forced politeness between he and David. He's trying to be the bigger man because, damn it, you know, up until a point. And then at a certain point, he becomes the voice of reason who just happens to look fucking insane.
He doesn't look insane, though.
He looks like Jesus. I trust him.
He looks like Tom Hardy, who he looks like.
Well, a little bit.
We had a lot of Jesus comparisons. Yeah. There's a Last Supper. There's a lot going on in there.
Good performance, too. Logan Marshall Green, who was last in, well, I don't know if he was last in, but genre-wise, he was in Prometheus.
Really?
And, yeah, he was Shaw's boyfriend who
infects. Yeah, yeah, okay.
He doesn't have a lot of luck with guys named David.
Well, I'd be honest. I thought that was Tom Hardy in Prometheus.
That's what Tom Hardy looks like when he shaves his beard. They're twins. And he was also in Devil, the M. Night Shyamalan produced movie from about
That's
4 or
the
5
elevator
years ago.
Film, right?
Yeah. Which played out like a Twilight Zone, only in feature length.
And directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Worked on all levels.
That's it. Other than him and John Carroll Lynch, who played Pruitt, who was... he was Margie's husband who really, really wanted to get his stamp bought in Fargo.
Okay.
And he also played...
He's in everything.
He's in everything.
Evil clown in American Horror Story season 4? Season 5?
The guy who played Tommy was Ryan, the CSI guy in SVU, before he was killed.
The main girl looked like
he was awesome.
Tyler.
But I don't recognize any of the other actors.
No,
but I thought everybody
either.
Was quite good.
No, as we said, they all looked almost like celebrities that we knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that isn't creepier when you watch a movie like this, not having any baggage with knowing who the actors are.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, because like, if you're watching a movie and it's whoever, it's harder to see a character when you're looking at, I don't know any. Name any. Like
if
like
the
guy.
Same
I mean,
movie
look,
were like you know.
I think the point of getting good actors is that you believe their characters. So if it was good actors,
if you
would
put Tom Hardy in that movie.
I'm there.
He's fucking
I'm there
selling
for
that
it.
Movie.
He's acting circles around.
He's acting circles around all of them.
Oh my God! You put Ron Perlman in this movie.
Put Nick Cage in this movie.
We got a better movie.
We
now.
Got Survivors.
Yeah. We got Survivors.
There would have been laughs aplenty, no doubt.
There was already.
There were.
Yeah.
I know. Was there a musical score?
There was, but it was very bare. It was more of...
It wasn't intrusive. I know that
no,
much.
No, it was
which
like... It was like really low-key synth tones. It wasn't actually music. I mean, it was, but it wasn't... But it was just kind of there to kind of build tension.
Dark, ominous tones.
And
yeah.
Movies are like very character-driven like that and, you know, more dialogue-driven than anything. I think it's probably best, especially intimate movies, you know, more like that you don't have something that's, you know, calls attention to itself as being a score And, you know, I think you can unnerve people even more with music like that and the way it's used in that movie. But I remember reading somewhere. God, do you remember the movie Irreversible from about 10 or 12 years ago?
No, I've not seen that.
It's that Mark Wahlberg and the Jets.
It's the Gaspar Noé movie that had Monica Bellucci and Vincent Cassel. And it's a very disturbing movie. And if anybody listening right now has seen the movie, you know why it's so disturbing. But I remember reading somewhere that one of the effects that the director put in, there is apparently a siren or some sort of sound that the French police use in lieu of guns or mace or whatnot that will actually cause people to get violently ill.
Really?
And so he took that sound and apparently obviously brought the audio down very, 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 very low, but laid it as a track underneath the entire movie. And it's like when you watch it from moment one, you are sort of put
– what's the movie called? Ease,
Irreversible.
I'll have to watch that.
It's a movie that plays not unlike Memento. Imagine a film cut into 20 scenes. It plays 20, 19, 18, 17. And
okay.
So when you start the film out, you're in the worst possible place. And by the time you get to the middle of the movie, you know why you're in the worst possible place. There is a 9-minute scene that's probably one of the toughest things I've sat through in any movie. And then by the time you get to the end of the movie,
damn,
it's all sweetness and light, and it would almost be a happy ending. It is a happy ending.
Except you know where it ends.
You know that it's not an ending at all. And you know where it's all going to go.
We have to watch this movie.
It's a great film. It is tough. I will warn you that the guy who directed it is also the guy who idolized Angst. He was the guy who did the interview at the very beginning.
Oh, okay.
That
okay,
guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Angst
okay.
is great.
He did Enter the Void, too.
I really want to. That movie looks awesome.
He did a great movie called I Stand Alone.
I haven't heard of
Philip Noone, which is very good. And then something else, which I've forgotten. So how did I get there? Oh, yeah, soundtracks.
Soundtracks.
Anyway, back to Karin Kusama's The Invitation. Overall, I would say it's definitely worth a watch. Give it a shot. Apparently, it's on Netflix right now. Hopefully, it'll be hitting DVD and Blu-ray before too long. Overall, I gotta imagine I can guess what the responses will be.
I will go ahead
and let you all speak for yourselves. Thumbs up, thumbs down. What would you guys say?
I don't really know. I really don't. I don't know how to feel about it. I think that it does a lot of things well. I was annoyed by parts, but I don't know if I was annoyed because it was bad or because I just wanted something to happen and that's how she built tension, or because it was just structurally a film that I wasn't expecting to see. Because I think I was expecting a different film when I watched it, which may be why I was annoyed by parts of it.
Okay.
I think.
But
I think
give it
okay
three red it. Lanterns.
Okay. Brian?
I give it one green lantern.
Ooh.
And Dave?
I don't know how many lanterns to give that. I think it didn't hide its gimmick well enough.
You know what, viewer? You know what you like.
Yeah.
You check it out if you want to.
Listeners, too.
Yeah.
No, just the
Rosemary's Baby hid nice. This gimmick better than this movie. This movie telegraphed from the beginning. Did you cut me off?
That was a good joke.
Oh.
I'm about to. But no, I
did. That's rude. I can't believe you would do that.
No,
it's about cults movie, this movie is. We created our own little score for Pruitt. So you did add that.
Okay, so oh, God, I just killed the mic again. Listeners at home, I'm so sorry. Anyway.
We're still new at this.
We're
relearning.
We're very curious to see what you all think. So after you watch the movie, if you get the chance, make certain to get at us on Twitter, Facebook, the ScreamAddicts.com page. Any place you can get a hold of us, basically just yell at us.
Please give me a reason to love this film.
That is
because I know there's a great film in this film. I just don't know how to find it.
We are at Scream Addicts. I am at Jinx1981. Hunter is at Hunter_Hall.
With two capital H's.
Two capital
I
H's.
Figured it out.
Brian is at just Brian Prim.
Yeah, sure.
Two N's, not like the lawyer.
Not like the lawyer.
Dave is at Zesty Ken, and Seth is Seth Dick at Seth Dixon 00 or 00.
00, man.
00.
Zero cool.
Yes. So, listeners, just to give you a heads up, we will not be back next week. Extreme Addicts will be back the week after that. We will probably start doing Twitter polls to see what you would like us to watch.
That'll be fun.
So keep an eye on, basically, us on Twitter. Goodbye, everybody!